The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
That sounds stupid. Okay, here we go. I tried to be the man, tried to be the boss. Even grew my beard out like Rick Ross. Yeah. Tried to be Kanye, but I really ain't stunned. Nah. Tried to be Snoop, but I don't really smoke blunts. Tried to be Hudges like Prodigy, but my mom ain't approved. We from country, yeah. A state drive, so I tried to be live. Like Biggie Smalls, but my voice too high, so I tried to get crunk.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy? Yeah! Bert? Well, all right, fellas! Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Friday, 23rd day of March, 2012. The Dow's up 41 points, S&P is up a little over 3, comp is down 2, and gold rebounding a bit, up $21. And of course, you've probably all heard about Apple plunging 9%. Really an interesting story behind that. It's all been fixed, so it's not an issue. But for those who don't know, The Apple Flash crash is being blamed on bats. The Flash crash in Apple is being attributed to bats, which is an alternative stock market that will cater to high-frequency traders. Now, it appears that is where the bad, quote, happened. And 100 shares of Apple went off at like $540. And so they actually stopped trading in Apple. The circuit breaker was flipped because those in power knew something was amiss. And they are actively investigating the issue. That's an official BATS statement. But here's where it gets really weird, really strange, and definitely BATS in the belfry. Today was BATS IPO. I didn't make that up. It's true. Not a good day to crash Apple's stock. When your they raised $101 million on this IPO. Again, as an alternative stock market, they are designed to cater to high-frequency traders. Now, the stock IPO'd and opened today at $15.25, and apparently they have had their own flash crash because there are currently some quotes showing at less than 4 cents per share. I'm going to say that again. 4 cents per share. Yep, if you paid 15 and a quarter to get in, you're not happy. But I'm thinking they'll fix that too. Anyway, it's a very short article, one of the first ones out, and they end the article with more to come, dot, dot, dot. I've done that before. BATS had to halt trading in itself. that may be a first in the history of the markets that an exchange halted its own stock. I don't even know what BATS is the acronym for, but I bet there's going to be some really funny stuff that it supposedly by the end of today, whatever BATS actually stands for, by the end of the day, there's going to be some very creative alternatives to that. Bad Apple something something. We'll work on it. Okay. All right. You are looking, if you are tuned in to CFRN TV, which means you're looking at my chart and not just listening to the sound of my voice, and you do that by clicking the red, white, and blue button on the right-hand side of any web page at CFRN. It says click here. By the way, I get the occasional email from people that go, "Dear Lord, your website is so baffling. I cannot figure out how to get around, navigate it, or do anything." Okay, you know what? Those emails, and they're not a lot of them, but maybe a lot of you feel that way. I don't know. I've usually found that the complainers are pretty vocal, and the happy people are the quiet ones, but that's okay. there's like a huge red, white, and blue button. It says to view our charts and participate in the live discussion, click here. I don't know how to simplify that. Honest to goodness, I don't. And below that it says live trading room results. If you click that, it'll take you to a page where you can see the video recap that Michael does every day of whatever transpired in the live trading room, good, bad, or ugly. Below that, it says visit our blog. I only know one language, English, and what I'm trying to cajole you into doing is to going to our blog. So I use the fancy word visit. Maybe that's what throws people off. I'll work on that. Visit our blog. It could be that I made the O like a little globe in visit our blog, because I thought that was cool and clever. Maybe that's part of it. And then I put a picture of an iPhone And if you click that, it'll allow you to download the eMini Futures app to your iPhone, which means you can get all of our podcasts, daily audio Bible, videos, charts, all kind of stuff on your phone. So when you're in line at the DMV or the doctor, you know, you got something to do besides play Angry Birds. Then there's just some little things there where you can share with your friends, like on Twitter and Facebook and all that kind of stuff. Then you can download our toolbar. And you can, maybe the eMini Blog RSS, maybe that throws people off because people don't know what that is. It stands for Really Simple Syndication. And I don't even want to go into the explaining what all that means, but if you don't know, don't worry about it. Then there's a button for iTunes. That's if you'd like want to subscribe to the podcast. You just click that, opens up iTunes on your computer, and takes you right to our page on iTunes where you could leave a review. You subscribe so that each new podcast gets automatically sucked into your phone or your computer or however you roll. The cloud makes it all possible. Then there's a comment from RH in Canada. I don't know if that confuses you. Then there's our phone number. Radio Tower, listen live. If you click that, the radio starts playing. So I'm confused, guys. I mean, you know, I'm just saying, the people who say I'm confused by your site, they don't ever tell me what it is exactly that they find confusing. So I'll leave it at that. If you do click that big red, white, and blue button, though, you can see the charts I'm talking about right now. It's an hourly chart of the S&P 500 E-mini futures. We've been looking at it all week. We look at it every day, every week. This is Sunday night. This is Monday morning. We came down, tested the 5960 weekly trading zone, caught a rally, blew MA1, pulled back, consolidated in the 1403-1404 zone, hit the red MA1, dropped to 95.96, consolidated for 5 or 6 hours there, made a rally against the backdrop of a blue MA1, right back to the zone at 0304, where we consolidated for quite a number of hours, back down to the 95.96, and here's what I said after all of this back and forth. And remember, these go out to the partners prior to the open on Monday, and they don't change. They stay the same all week. When we closed out the show on Wednesday, we were right about here. And I said, it appears that the path of least resistance is down. Okay? Now, we spiked it just a wee bit, and then we put in a slightly lower high. But ultimately, we did come back down once again to the 95.96. And yesterday, we broke the 95. We broke this little double bottom here. And we got all the way down to the 87.88 weekly trading zone. And then as we were leaving the radio show yesterday, I said, and this is more difficult to say because of gravity, I said, it appears that from here, the path of least resistance is up. Okay? And then overnight, look what happened. We ran right back to 95.96. On the show and in the workshop last night, I mentioned that I would be surprised if we didn't get a move to 95.96 because important areas are almost always tested. Now, tested. That makes it pretty important, especially on an hourly chart, because you've got a number of hours here, a number of hours here, only one here, a couple here. So I think we could all agree, important. Fair enough? Okay. So that was important as support. The price could not close below it. It could touch it. It could spike it, but it could never close below it until this candle right here. Finally got an hourly close below it. took us, and the next hour took us straight to the zone where we consolidated for quite a number of hours. Okay, now we get to go back and look at that. I mean, that's just almost, I don't know, let's call it fascinating. How about that? We won't get into anything more obtuse. It comes right back to 95, and now this firm wall of support has become the resistance. It shoves it down to 1380, where we bounce back heartily. Very, very strong hourly back. Now, where's the path of least resistance now? I'm going to say down. That's what I'm going to say. I'm looking for now, and that may change over the course of the next hour as we do the radio program here, because what I'm going to look for, see how this hourly candle's shaping up? We got 12 minutes left in this hour. It hasn't really gone anywhere, hasn't really done anything much. Okay? So if we can get, and we've still got the red MA1 falling. See how over here we spiked that red MA1 a little bit and then closed right back below it. Spiked it, closed right back below it. This time we didn't get above it. So here's what I'm looking for. This is my cue to, you know, for potential action. Let's see this thing come back down and close below the red MA1, maybe inside the zone or slightly below the zone. Maybe I'm waiting to sell 86 on a stop or something if price comes back down through here. If it doesn't, the order never gets triggered. No harm, no foul. I drew this out on the blog last night. We've been talking about trend lines on the blog. So let me just show you this really quick. This is that whole chart you were just looking at. But that was before it ran back up. And then I use this as an example. This is the exact same chart. Okay, this chart and this chart are the same. I simply removed the noise and rescaled it so you could see what would happen, so you could better see this trend line. Remember we talked about 3 points for validation? So the question was, the trend is obviously down. When and if price touches the trend line, what can happen? It can validate or it can break. Now, what happened is actually very interesting, and I'll show you, and then I'll give Mike the mic. Here's that same chart. Price came up. It spiked it. Okay. Now, some would say, well, it broke the trend line. Did it? It spiked it. You got one close right there above it. And you got this wick ring up here. And then you close right back below it. Now, that's a test of a trend line, but it's not the failure of a trend line. Now, let's go to the properties of this trend line. And let's just run it on out. Like that, and look what we're doing. We're spiking it again. So maybe that helps you understand why I'm watching this for a potential failure here. Potential to continue higher and to reverse, come back down, potentially get below the 87 weekly zone. Now, the next zone below us is so far down, I'd really be surprised to see us get there today. I mean, it could happen, but Friday afternoons typically are pretty quiet. So we'll watch it, and we'll discuss it as it happens throughout the show. Michael, that took longer than I thought. Carry on. It's all yours.
That's right. Okay. Let me just grab the charts. Right. Screen monitor 2. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Friday, March 23rd, 2012. This is Michael from CFRN, I'm going to go over the trades from the live trading room this morning. Let me just go over the results first. We had quite a few trades, but we ended up break even everywhere but the Russell. On the Russell, we ended up down 5 ticks. Okay, we ended up missing. Well, we just ended up down 5 ticks on the Russell. I'll go through the trades in just a few minutes here. I want to take a moment to suggest to anyone who has taken the free trial, who has not gotten back to me, or who is near the end of their free trial, if you want to become a partner, get in touch with me. And you can do that by emailing support@cfrn.net, and I will tell you what it takes to become a partner. If you have not taken the free trial and you want to, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. That's APPLY. Okay, when you take the free trial, you'll get our charts, you'll get our indicators, you'll get all that stuff for 5 business days. And you'll get all the data feeds, everything that you want, and you'll have access in the live trading room to sit with us and trade with us and learn with us and move forward. For everyone that is a partner who missed the meeting last night, there is something new right here that I'm working on. All right, I introduced it last night to the partners that were in the meeting last night, and hopefully I'll have it ready to go here shortly for everyone to be able to use and download. All right. Again, those of you guys who are not partners, you don't know anything about this because you didn't go to the meeting. but let's start out here by going through the trades. Okay. This morning on the 4-tick range, I didn't even attempt to take anything on the 4-tick range. It was covered up most of the morning. The setups that we did look at this morning were setups that we went over in the meeting last night. The types of setups we went over in the meeting last night. Basically looking at continuation trades, momentum trades, using this new indicator with this cross right here. And after testing the BBC and closing below the MA1, right here where you see it was circled, a short there, a short over here, the same thing. These need to be moved over. There you go. A short in those two spots up here, a long right here. All right, and right now it's possibly getting ready to put in another long opportunity right here if it closes back up above the MA1. All right, that's what we were looking at in the partners meeting last night, and that's what we went over on the ES in the live trading room this morning. We didn't take any trades on the ES this morning, okay? Over here on the YM, I took 2 trades, and I got a break-even on both of them, but I'll show you what happened to them. All right, this was the first trade that we took right here. This was pretty much the same as that other one that I just showed you. We had the cross down here. Price tested the BBC. It closed down below the MA1, and I entered on the close below the MA1. Price went in my favor quite a ways. I moved my stop to right here where the BBC is. It came back, stopped me out right at the BBC, and then dropped at least 20 ticks, which my profit target would have been. But you can see right here we had the bearish divergence, and a cross. There was another opportunity right here in the meantime. On the same move down, we could have entered right there. Now you see the double divergence right there and the cross down there. Price rolled back up. Okay, you see it started to move back up. The MA1 crossed over the BBC. Price pulled down here, closed up right here. This was my second trade. I took this trade. We had the cross here and the double divergence. I went long there. It moved in my favor, and I moved my stop to just below the BBC, and it came just below the BBC and got me out of break-even again. And then it continued up. Now, my entry over here, I believe, was at 9.53, right there. It was at 12.953, and it's gone up to 13,023. So 53 to 23, what's that, 70 ticks? It's gone 70 ticks in my favor, 70 points in my favor from there. There were a couple of other opportunities to enter into that trade. You see we had the double divergence here with the cross, the double divergence here with the cross, and double divergence over here with the cross. So there were a couple of other times, other places to enter that trade, okay? I did not get those. Our morning session stopped before this last one, and I didn't. There was some reason why I didn't do these. I don't know what it was, but I'm sure there was a reason. That was the YM. All right, let me bring the 6E over, and we'll go over the stuff that happened in the 6E this morning. The 6E was once again not too active until about 10:30, and then it started to run up. All right, here pre-market when the elbow was broken to the downside, the white was leading the green, suggesting the pullback to the BBC would hold, and it did. Again, right here, we had some bearish divergence, and the BBC, the pullback to the BBC held. All right, over here, the white down here on the combo was not leading the green, so we were not anticipating the BBC holding here. It did hold for a bit, but we weren't anticipating it. Same thing over here. Same thing over here. Now, once it got over here, though, and it came down and tested the BBC, and we had complete bullish divergence right here. The close up above the MA1 was a possibility. Again, right here, with the close above the MA1. Right here, we didn't have any divergence, so it wasn't as high a probability of trade. Okay, over here, right now, the white is leading the green, right here. The white is to the left of the green. So when the elbow broke to the downside and it pulled back up here to the BBC, we were expecting the BBC to hold, and it did. Okay, we're setting up some bearish divergence right now, so I expect the BBC will probably hold here. If we close down below the MA1, that should be a good short trade right there. All right, that is the 6E. Now, let me bring the NQ over. The NQ traded a lot like the Russell this morning. We didn't take any trades on the NQ, though I will go over the setups that did happen. Okay, just using the same exact stuff that I just showed you on all those other markets, I'll show you it right here on the NQ. Okay, the double divergence right here, we have bearish divergence here and bearish divergence here. This was the cross down. This was the close below. All right, so just give me one second. I'm going to add a couple of things in here. There we go, so I can outline it for you. Right there. Alright. Right there. And here's a divergence. And here's a divergence. Okay. Yeah. That was that. Then moving along. Right over here, we didn't exactly have double divergence, but what I went over last night in the room to minimize the opportunity to overtrade, what I went over was taking the trades below the MA1 or above the MA1 after the BBC has been tested. So like right here where the BBC was tested, we got a cross down right here. All right. We don't have the double divergence on this one, so you're not expecting as much out of it. Right here we did, so you were expecting a better move out of that. But same thing over here, it tested it there, moved down right here, but in this particular case, this was already down at the bottom, so we weren't expecting all that much to happen there. Doesn't mean that it didn't happen, it did happen. But up here we had the double divergence, everything was in place in the proper spot right here. Okay, this is the NQ, so I wasn't really watching the NQ today. But this is what I would have been doing had I been watching the NQ. Okay, because this is what we're doing with all the other markets. All right, the idea is to minimize the number of trades, and preferably just take fewer trades that are I'm not going to say better quality trades because all the trades that win are they're winning trades, but just reducing the opportunity to overtrade. All right. At the end of the day, you don't want to take 100 trades to make 2 points. You'd rather take 2 trades to make 2 points, or 1 trade to make 2 points. All right, so you can see right here the same thing was happening again and again. Okay, I'm not going to beat this one to death. I'm just going to point it out. Okay. That was the first one. This was the second one. This right here is the third one, and over here it's setting up a short right now as we speak, right here. Okay, and look for the cross down right there. Okay? Now, this indicator down here, the one on the bottom, is not available yet to everyone. But those of you guys who are in the live trading room, you got to watch it on my computer this morning, and I will have it out to those of you who are partners shortly. Okay? All right. So I did the 6E, the NQ, the YM, and the ES. Now, the Russell. Let's bring this Russell over. Okay? I'll show you what we did on the Russell. We did have quite a few trades this morning on the Russell, and we missed, as usual, we missed quite a few trades. Right here at the open, there was an opportunity. The same exact stuff that we were just doing on all those other markets, all right? What I'm trying to do here for everyone's benefit is stick with one trade setup that works across all the markets and all the time frames, all right, as much as possible. There was the move up over here where I've drawn the arrow. Move down, I've already drawn these arrows in. There was the cross down. All right, so over here, the cross up, divergence, divergence. Right in there was the entry spot. Over here, once the MA1 crossed down below the BBC, right here was the opportunity to short. You had the bearish divergence and the cross down. This wasn't the perfect opportunity right here. It did work. Now we're getting into right here. These are the trades I actually took. I took this first trade right here, and I had a bad entry on it, and it stopped me out. All right. Then it pulled back up here, and it gave the same trade setup again, and I took it again, and I made my 10 points on it. Okay, or 10 ticks. Sorry, this is the Russell. It was 10 ticks. There was another one right over here. We had the cross down after testing the BBC. This right here was the entry. I missed it, but it went to the target. Okay, there was another one right over here. The market got pretty choppy right in here, and I got hit on this first one. I got stopped out on the first one, and it gave me another opportunity right here. I took it, and it immediately went about 6 ticks in my favor. And then it came back and it started to chop around a bit, so I moved my stop to break even. I didn't actually stop out right there. I think I ended up going over here is where I got out of it. But I got out of break even on that one. Alright, so at this point in the day, I think I was down 11 ticks from this trade right here. Alright. I was at break even after this one, and I was down after this one. Right over here you see we had the bullish divergence, the cross up right there. Close above the MA1. I took this trade right here and I got out up here. I took a 6 tick profit on that one, and I got out right up there. All right, the market got really choppy right in here. I don't think I took any trades in there at all, because you can tell I got 5 ticks. Minus 5 ticks was my net for the morning. There was another opportunity right here during the break where you would have been looking to go long right there. Now, right here, there's one going on right now, okay, on the short side. Right here's cross down. Okay, right there is the cross down. Here is bearish divergence. Here is bearish divergence. And right there. The MA1 dropped below the BBC, came back, price came back, tested the BBC, and closed back down below the MA1. So the entry was right there. Okay, the high of that bar was at 18.9. So let's say you got in at 18.88. Right in that range, you'd be sitting on 5 or 6 ticks profit on it right now. I anticipate that this will probably move down to the weekly zone down here. These blue lines right here are weekly zone. So price will probably move down there. May not be directly down there. It may move back up. Test the BBC a couple times on the way, but that's what I anticipate. All right. Now, all the stuff that I just went over is stuff we went over in the partners meeting last night. Okay, everything that I just went over is stuff we went over in the partners meeting. This indicator down here is a way to minimize all these combos, so we can put it all in one place, really. Okay, that's what that indicator is for. It's not available yet to the public, or to the partners even. It'll never be available to the public. It'll be available to the partners. Okay. Unless you're on a free trial. But eventually, I'll get it out in the indicator store. But just scrolling back, I mean, you can eyeball this and see over and over again how these things work. Okay? over and over again. All right. And that was, I don't know, was that in the pre-market? No, that was yesterday. That was yesterday. If we scroll back some more, I may still have, I don't think I do, but I may still have, no, I don't. I was thinking I would still have all my marks from yesterday on here. All the trades that I took yesterday. Because you would see that there would be fewer trades today. Like this one right here, I probably tried to go long on this yesterday when, right there, would have been the short entry. Right there would have been a short entry. Right here would have been a short entry. And right here, the MA1 was above the BBC, so we would have stopped right there. If we didn't have the weekly trading zone, right there would have been a long entry. Right here would have been a short entry. That would have actually continued right into this next one. That would have also been a short entry. Another one right over here. Okay, then over here on the other side, right here, would have been a long entry. Right up here would have been another long entry. Oops, right up there. Ignoring the weekly trading zones. Of course, I don't trade into the zones, but that's what we would have been looking at. Then it got really choppy in here, and the market couldn't decide whether it wanted to go up or down. There were no trade setups in there, in that whole area right in there. Okay, there was one right there. But we would have waited until it moved out. Then we would have been looking to short right over here. Okay, and that was pretty much yesterday's day. Right there. That was it. All right. For those of you guys who haven't taken a trial, this is the kind of stuff that we do live in the live trading room in the morning. We go over all this stuff live. All right. This has taken us a little longer than I had anticipated. I didn't even put up my question box to see if anybody had any questions.
And David still has all those little sandwiches to make.
Oh, good, good. Okay, so
for the party tomorrow.
Yeah, there are some questions in here. Hang on. Gold, silver, a link to that article. Registering for the week. And the green line leads, the white line, what does that suggest the BBC will hold or fall? When you're talking about on the 6E, right? Frank, when the green line leads the white line, that suggests the BBC will fail. Okay, it will not hold. When the white line is leading, that suggests the BBC will hold. Ready here? Okay.
Larry had put a comment in. Hey, Dwayne, after registering for the week, what do I click on the next day to get into the webinar? Thanks. Okay, Larry, great question. What happens, guys, is when you go in and register, like on Monday, to get signed up for the radio show all week, you only have to register once. You'll get an email each day that says radio show starts in 30 minutes or however they do that, and then you just click that link. It could be, Larry, that your email is going to your spam folder or your bulk folder or just some other folder than your inbox, because it is a mass email that's sent out to everyone that's registered. So try to figure out where it's going, and then all you, especially if you're using Gmail, they make it very simple. There's a little yellow arrow that you can go, this is not bulk or this is not spam, and then in the future every day it'll go straight to your inbox, because you can teach it what is good and what you want and what you don't want. So I haven't tweeted a lot lately. I did tweet on the Russell last night. Well, I tweeted a 2-point scalp on the ES that worked out, and then I tweeted a short on the Russell. Consider selling 818 on a stop, which that worked out pretty good because we ended up going down to about 812, 811.80, something like that. So 7 points on the Russell, that's equivalent to about 14 points on the ES, right, Mike?
7 points on the Russell, yes, it is equivalent to 14 on the
ES. So I haven't been tweeting a lot lately, guys. Not because I'm mad or anything. I just haven't. And I thought about it last night. It was like, wow, okay, we'll go tweet something. And so I looked around at the different markets, and that looked pretty good. And if you go back and look at last night's chart, you might see why it looked good. And if you can't see, then take the free trial. Come join us Monday morning, and I'll show you exactly why I thought that looked like a good trade. Okay? All right. Anything else? Any other questions? Anything? Any other business we need to take care of?
Nope. It looks like we got everything covered in here. Hope everybody has a great weekend.
Okay. All right. You guys know how to take the free trial. Oh, and Friday is always a great day to take the free trial because if you act now, if you act now, you can run and download the platform. Get the indicators installed, get your data flowing while Bert is still in the office to help you. And then all weekend you get to play with the platform, play with the charts, play with the indicators. And you're kind of up to speed Monday morning when the market opens. And then you spend the next 5 days in the live trading room. So, splendid day to take a free trial at cfrn.net/apply. Don't go away. We're off to visit our good friend David Williams at PageTrader.com.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Happy Friday to you, Mr. David Williams.
And happy Friday to you and to Michael as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Hope you have a nice weekend, Michael.
Yes, thank you. I hope to. I hope to.
Doing whatever the aliens do. I don't know what that is.
Yes, the aliens. That's where...
I've already notified my 3,000-plus Twitter followers, but you should probably know this as well, David, that... at Chuck Norris will not be on the show today. Okay.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
All right. Okay, carry on.
All right. Well, it is Friday, and we have a lot going on. I'm going to have to keep our program today with you short, unfortunately. You know, I'd love to talk on forever.
Oh, you got to cut the crust off all those little sandwiches. You've made the sandwiches, now you got to trim the crust because you are a
trim
classy
the crust.
Guy.
What's that?
Because you are a classy guy, so you're going to...
I am a classy guy.
You're going to trim the crust.
We're getting all the food ready.
No, guys, I say that jokingly because he does put on such a very nice... it's a very elegant spread. I don't know. Can you say elegant and spread in the same...
Well,
it is nice, though. That's my point. It's very nice. There was stuff I couldn't even pronounce.
Well, yeah, we're getting ready for that. For those of you who are coming to the seminar, I'm excited to have you out there. I'm excited. Can't wait to get the thing started. We'll be there tomorrow morning. Check-in starts at 10 o'clock. So you can come up by at 10 o'clock and get checked in, and we'll have all kinds of things. And I'll be there, of course, along with everyone else from PageTrader. So have a safe trip for everyone who's coming out to Las Vegas. Some of you are already here. You've already called us and let us know that you're here. And, you know, I joke about people who, you know, the trading world, you know, the traders, the golfing, skiing, boating, fishing, you know, all the stuff, they play up in the ads. Well, these guys are really doing that stuff. You know, they called me from the Wynn Hotel to tell me they're out on the Wynn golf course golfing, you know, waiting for tomorrow. So I guess they do trade. I guess traders do golf. Dwayne, are you a golfer?
No, I'm not. But I did actually stumble across a website the other day, a trading website, that actually had somebody golfing and somebody boating.
See? You see, Dwayne? There it is. You know it. Those golfing, skiing, boating, fishing, mountain hiking, the nightlife, the cigars, all that stuff. It is funny, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You know, because that's in that. The reason that's in the ad is because they're trying to tell you you're going to be living the good life. You know, the good life means golfing, skiing, boating, fishing. And yes, those things are really fun. But a good life can also be so many other things other than just all the cliche things that people do. Yes, it's fun to do those things, but that's number one. Number two, the whole premise that you're going to, you know, be out there, you know, doing that. Most people don't even really want to go do that. They've got much better things to do with their life than doing that. Once in a great while, people will do that. But that's the picture that they're trying to paint. And, you know, I've never been, for me, I don't know why, but I was talking to Johnny this morning about it. I've never been much attracted to golf for whatever reason, but it's a very social game. It's a game where people bond and they talk about life and you're out on the green and, you know, it can be very good for people. I can understand that. I just never really, the game never got to me. And there's another thing that I didn't like is that there's waves of something coming off some golfers. You know, there's something about being out there golfing and the way they move. It's very, I don't know what the term is. It's gooey, maybe, is the word. You know, gooey is beyond egotistical. You know, gooey is really gooey.
It's the and, cleats. Cleats do that to a man.
Is that what it does, the mm-hmm. cleats or the mm-hmm. pleats?
The cleats. Both, yeah.
Anyway, so, yeah, no, it's probably a lot of fun to play out there. So, anyway, so we do have to keep it short today, and I apologize for that. We're still getting set up and moving our things over there, but we can get into the markets here and talk a little bit about what's happening. Do you want to do that, Dwayne, right away, or do you have anything you want to say about...
No,
the world or
Well, you probably heard about Apple getting halted this morning, or maybe not.
No, I didn't hear about Apple getting halted. I'd love to hear that. Tell me.
Well, not much to tell. Apple got halted.
Okay, thanks very much for the update.
There's a new exchange called BATS, B-A-T-S, that IPO'd today, as a matter of fact. Boy, not a good day to IPO for them. You crashed the largest stock in the world. Now, what happened is, we don't know, but 100 shares went off at like $540. Call it a fat finger trade, whatever the case. They halted Apple, they got it rectified, and then Apple went back to trading because Apple had done nothing wrong. But this brand new alternative stock exchange, which will cater to high-frequency traders, day one, coming out of the gate, they raised $101 million in their IPO. And then after they goofed on Apple, then they had their own stock, which had IPO'd at like $15 and change, suddenly was showing prints at less than 4 cents. So
they have some computer problems.
Yeah, that's it.
Something.
But they have $100 million now that they can go get a good IT guy, I guess, so.
Oh, yeah, they probably could. Well, I'll take a look at that. Apple's in a very strong position still.
Yeah, I mean, it's right back to where it was. I mean, it was a blip. They halted it, they fixed it, and it went back to trading.
I've said this before, but, you know, any mall that you go to that has an Apple store in it, it's by far the most crowded store of any store in any mall in any country. You walk into an Apple store, and there's at least 40 people in that store, in that space. And there's very, very few, if any, stores that have 40 people in them, 50 people out here in Las Vegas. I've counted more. And this is not after the release of some big product. This is just on a day-to-day basis. I go get a massage every weekend at the mall. The people with the chairs there, and they know how to work you. And, you know, I know a couple of them are very good. I like to go there. It's really nice. It's tension relieving. It's just 20 minutes. But it's very nice. And I walk by that Apple store every time, and I'll tell you, that Apple store is filled to the brim with people. And it's hard to get somebody in there to help you, because all the Apple people are busy working away. And we've got four, I think, Apple stores out here, three or four. They're all the same way, every last one of them. So having said that, Dwayne, did you get a chance to take a look at the new iPad? Have you had a chance to play with it or touch it?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Have you had a chance to drive the Chevy Volt in sport mode?
No. Okay. No, I haven't.
All right, so when you send me things, when you send me things and say, well, did you click on that link yet, or did you check that thing I sent you?
God, the
I'll
stuff.
Say, yes, Dwayne, I did. I thank you very much for sending it, and that was so nice. It was really neat. Thank you. I'll just say that.
Well, I send you stuff you can do without getting out of your chair. You know, you want me to
I know. I hate
town.
To get – you're going to have to get some exercise, Dwayne, and you need to get over to your Chevy dealer.
The last time I went to an Apple store, I went in there just to look, and I walked out with an Apple TV, which, by the way –
Yeah, it's hard to leave there without something, isn't it?
Which, by the way, is not a TV, folks. It's just a little black box. But it is a magical black box, which for $99 puts a whole lot of content on your TV. So, and they have a new one. Okay. They just released a new one that I'm not sure why it's better, but apparently it is. So,
okay. Well, good. Yeah, difficult to walk out of an Apple store without something. Well, something I also noticed is if – and I digress a little bit, but let me just go there. We've talked a little bit about Tesla, the company that's making the new electric car, and that I like them. I like their stock. I think it's a buy. We had talked about the stock back. We had forecast that the market would bottom on the 6th of March, and they did. And anybody who might have taken advantage of that, I hope you did. If you did. Then you could have made a little money on the way up if you wanted to, because, you know, they bottomed down at around 32 or 33 and they went up to about 36. Nice little, you know, day traders or a multi-day little move there. They're going to put another bottom in. This is Tesla, TSLA. The stock is trading right now at $34, $33, and their bottom is due on the 26th of March. I'm going to show everyone who's coming to Reflected Wave seminar tomorrow how we know this, how you will know it, and how you can put a position on and take advantage of the next up leg in Tesla. We are considering buying this one here because of the because I keep talking about it to Dane, and you know that I like this, and there's a lot of technical reasons. We don't buy and sell individual stocks because of, you know, liking the news around them and stuff like that. Although it's hard not to pay attention sometimes to very important news. And there, you don't have to be totally pure. This is not a religion. You don't have to take technical analysis and say, no, I don't need to know the name of the stock. I don't need to know the news. You could put me in a black room with a Led Zeppelin blacklight poster, and all I need to do is stare at the screen. That's nice, and that's true. You could trade that way. But any other pieces of information, any other thing that can come your way that can help your trade, you should do it rather than getting hung up on being a purist. Because purists are blocking out many times other pieces of information that could be very useful. What's that, Dwayne?
Oh, the internet. It just cracks me up.
Totally.
Geraldo Rivera quoted today saying, I think – now, although there's nothing funny about this, but just hear me out and you'll understand why I laugh. Geraldo Rivera quoted today as saying, I think the hoodie – is as much responsible for Trayvon Martin's death as George Zimmerman.
What?
Now, Trayvon Martin, a very tragic thing that happened,
sure.
And I don't make light of that. But the fact that I just noticed that he's trending on Twitter. And I don't even know if you know what that means.
Oh, David, the hoodie, but because he couldn't see the face of the person, and it made it more mysterious and it made it look more deadly. Because he couldn't see, it looks like somebody was hiding their identity about to commit a crime. Either way, to pick up a gun and shoot a human being who's doing nothing, just because you are starting to feel weird about that human being for whatever your reasons are, the guy's a murderer. End of story. I mean, that's just, you know, there was no mistaken identification there. That guy is just nuts, the guy that shot him. That's how I read that.
I think the hoodie is as much responsible for Trayvon Martin's death as George Zimmerman. And Juliet Huddy, doing the interview, goes, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And
how's that?
In Rivera style, when you see a kid walking, Juliet, when you see a kid walking down the street, particularly a dark-skinned kid like my son Cruz, who I constantly yelled at when he was going out wearing a damn hoodie or those pants around his ankles, take that hood off. People look at you and they, what do they think? What's the instant identification? What's the instant association? And the co-host says, uh-oh.
So. Yeah. I like Geraldo Rivera. He's just dead wrong. I mean, you cannot write any of this off to the hoodie or anything like that. The guy's not a licensed policeman. He's just some weird dude that is called in. He's a self-appointed neighborhood dude that, you know, is trying to watch the neighborhood. And he just wanted to pull the trigger on a gun. And he was looking around, oh, this kid's doing, he's up to no good, he's doing this, he's doing that. This goes back to that thing we've talked about so many times, and I'm not going to, I don't want to prejudge it ultimately, but, you know, he murdered somebody for no good reason. The kid didn't have any, wasn't doing anything wrong, wasn't stealing, was, even if he was stealing, he's not, you know, you don't shoot somebody for that. But the bottom line is he shot him for no good reason. And, this goes back to the thing we talked about, that the way you look at something determines what you see. Because I'm just going to say, let's assume that the guy is not just completely nuts. Okay, let's just say that he isn't insane or really having mental problems, the man who did the shooting. Well, he's really busy looking for trouble. He's out there looking for something that might, you know, happen that could, you know, be something he could call the police on or whatever. And here comes this kid down the street, and lo and behold, because he's looking for it, you know, he ends up seeing what he needed to see in order to do what he wanted to do in the first place, which is point a gun at somebody and shoot it. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't crying after he shot the kid. He wasn't upset after he shot the kid. He wanted to do that. And this kid fit enough of the requirements for him to do that because of the way he was looking at it. He wasn't just relaxing and looking out there. This was a guy who was would make a bad trader because he turned something that wasn't a trade into one, right? And this is it. So he turned something that wasn't a crime, nothing near it, but he because he needed to have it be a crime, he ended up, you know, killing an innocent person walking on the street. So I don't know the full story except from what I just told, but I have no idea why he hasn't been arrested yet. Are they saying that it's a mistaken identity for a crime in progress? And would that justify pulling a gun? And, you know, believe me, if you've ever held a gun in your hand, it's there's a foreboding sense with that gun in your hand that you have power that you shouldn't really have unless it's under very, very important conditions. And to pick that thing up and then to point it and then to shoot at a human being would require an awful lot of something going on for most people. But if you're really busy looking for it, you know, you'll find it. A long time ago, a friend that, not even a friend, this is somebody I didn't like that was in a circle of people that I knew, when Mace first came out, he's the kind of person, like this guy, who just wanted to mace somebody. He wanted to see what it was like to mace somebody. So he spent his days waiting for things to happen that he could then justify pulling his mace out and, you know, squirting somebody in the face with it. So one day he was in his truck, which of course was a really big truck. I won't go into that. But he was sitting in his truck and somebody came up to him to ask directions or something. And of course, he said to himself, uh-oh, I'm going to be attacked. So he pulled the mace out and maced a person completely unnecessarily. That's exactly what I think happened with this kid. You know, so this is also the gun control thing. You know, people are going to say, see, if the guy couldn't buy a gun, then the kid wouldn't be dead. And there's always going to be a thing you can point at with guns. But we all know that the Second Amendment, and I just want you people out there that are who like Obama, like this administration, as a fact, this administration, the U.S. you know the U.S. attorney, tried to make an argument that the Second Amendment, you know, the amendment that says that every person can defend themselves against the government, against other people with a gun. We have the right to bear arms. He was trying to make the argument that didn't apply to private citizens. Who do you think they were talking about then? In the that's how warped these people are. These people meaning the far left that's running the government. Eric Holder, it's on record. He interpreted and wanted to pass a law, pass legislation that would outlaw guns because they are the Second Amendment never intended them to be for private citizens. Does that just make you want to tear whatever remaining hair out of your head out? It does me. That's just the most warped, perverse, you know, bending. It just goes to show, no matter what you write on a piece of paper, somebody can pick it up. And the nerve of him to put that type of interpretation on it, and he's very comfortable with himself. That's why he's a scary man. That's why I don't want him around, amongst many others in this administration. But if he had his way, he took that shot. He wanted, no pun intended, he wanted to have no citizen through the Constitution to be able to say the Constitution wasn't talking about you. I wonder who the Constitution was talking about when they said people would have the right to bear arms. Which people is he saying? His family? You know, Rosie O'Donnell doesn't think everybody should have guns, but guess what she's armed to the teeth with? Guns. Why? How come she gets them and we don't? Because she's special. That's why. That's what I'm saying. It's a warped world when the U.S. attorney is trying to, with smoke and mirrors, tell us that, you know, it didn't mean, that the U.S. Constitution, Second Amendment, didn't mean us. It didn't mean private people. Pretty good, huh? I mean, I don't know what more evidence you would need that these people are looking at the world in a very, very different way. And right now you have Barack Obama on TV trying to act like the last 3 years, everything, every position he took, he never took. He wants gas lower. He wants energy costs lower. He wants taxes lower. You know, every possible thing that he's been against openly, now he's suddenly for, as he's running around the country, you know, talking it up. You know, politics is a sickening game. It really is. It's just, it's obnoxious, because the things that people will do to keep power or to get into power and all that stuff, unless the person's pretty unique, you know, can go pretty out there. And, but I digress. Didn't I say earlier I didn't have a lot of time? And you get me on these subjects, Dwayne. You purposely did that to me again.
I did.
Get me going.
Geraldo ends the, this lady tries to defend the hoodie. Well, what about the fact that the people of New York, a couple nights ago, they had a million hoodie march? I guess a bunch of people trying to defend the hoodie. And Rivera ends the interview saying, you cannot rehabilitate the hoodie. You're not going to. I understand that the reaction might be overzealous or even irrational to some extent. I mean, when you look at the statistics, it may be, but you're not going to rehabilitate the hoodie. You're not going to. Prior to that, he says, every time you ever see a photo of a, or one of the videotapes from like the 7-Eleven stick-ups, any kind of robbery, going all the way back to someone in the chat room mentioned the Unabomber, the hoodie, you know? So his point is, you know, if you don't want to be treated like a gangster, don't act or dress like. He says, I understand this poor kid had a box of Skittles in his hand and did not deserve to die. And that the guy who shot him is a nut. He addresses all of that. But he says, I bet you if the guy didn't have a hoodie on, it would have turned out different. I don't know. Supposedly this guy followed him into a gated community and then shot him. I just heard that part of it today.
This guy was stalking him, Dwayne.
Yeah, it's just
weird.
He
was stalking the little kid, and I got news for you. This guy was looking to shoot somebody.
That's just
And bad. If the guy didn't have a hoodie, he would have still been dead. That's how this would have played out. He was looking for trouble. The guy called 911. That guy had called the police a whole bunch of times on previous things that he would like to have gotten involved with. And then finally he called, and even the 911 told him, don't get involved, don't do anything. And he followed him around and then just shot him. And, you know, he's gonna lose his case, obviously. There's you know, no right for that. But I don't really agree with Geraldo. I think that's a big assumption that, you know, the hoodie is the only reason why the guy shot him. I mean, the guy's a nut. That's why he shot him. And, you know, if he wasn't wearing a hoodie, then the next thing would be, well, don't carry Skittles around in your hand if you're black, because, you know, we might misinterpret that as a gun and we may have to shoot you. So, you know, where does it end? You know, don't wear Nike tennis shoes because, you know, other people might want them and they may need to shoot you. You can just go on and on with this. The guy's a nut. That's what happened here. The little boy was in the wrong place at the wrong time. So that's very unfortunate for him and his family. So I like Geraldo. I'm not sure if he's getting a little weird in his old age. We all get a little weirder in our old age, Dwayne. You're probably a little weirder now than you were 10 years ago. But I don't know about you in another 10 years.
So if you could have lunch with Geraldo or Montel Williams, who would you have lunch with?
Geraldo.
Okay.
No question.
Just checking.
Yeah, I have nothing going for Montel Williams.
What about Arsenio? You know, they say Bill Clinton might not have gotten elected if he had not been on Arsenio Hall's show.
It's possible. It's possible. No, I don't have much going for Arsenio Hall either.
Is he still around?
He wanted to spend... What's that?
Is he still around?
Well, he was. You know, he was blacklisted, Arsenio was, from the entertainment industry because at one point on his old show, he had Louis Farrakhan come on.
Oh.
And, you know, Louis Farrakhan doesn't come on to do tap dancing or to play a musical instrument or to sing and make you feel good. He comes on to spew hate
and
divide
man. People.
He's a worthless human being. He's a piece of trash. And the fact that anybody follows that guy for any reason at all speaks volumes about them and what they think they see in people. And it speaks volumes about, you know, how you look at something determines what you see. So Farrakhan comes on his show, sits down, and it's probably on the internet somewhere, and starts into his trash talk about Jewish people. And it doesn't matter what group, but it happens to be Jews for him. He's got a disorder about Jewish people, like some people have a disorder about black or Mexican or whatever. But he really has it. And he went and, you know, just trashed them right on the Arsenio, and with Arsenio just sitting there. And so guess who runs a whole lot of the whole media industry? Guess what religion and nationality they are, Dwayne? They're Jewish.
The Jewish people, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, lots of Jews are running the media industry, and they blackballed him for like 10 years. You saw him go away for a long, long time, and he's just now getting back in. And to be honest with you, you know, if I was in their position, I probably, not because I'm Jewish, but because it's just such a disgusting thing that he brought the guy on for that kind of, you know, crap, that I wouldn't have wanted him around on TV either for a while. So, you know, he took a good licking from that. Arsenio did. And I think pretty much rightly so. So whatever he's been back in, he's been very happy to have that work. And you can rest assured Arsenio won't be bringing any other racial leaders, you know, who want to spew their stuff out onto any program that he's ever going to be on again. Can rest assured that isn't going to happen. So you can check that out on the internet. Somewhere in the past, you probably have that thing where him sitting there, and you'll see Lewis sit down and just start his stuff. I don't know where he is now. I don't know what he's doing now. But, you know, it's going to be a nicer place when he's not here. Wouldn't want to be under his control. Wouldn't want to be in little cages with him running around, you know, telling me how the world's going to be. You know. So, you know, there's all kinds of Hitlers that are walking around the world right now. They just didn't have all the pieces put together. They didn't have the whole, you know, group of people following them. They didn't have all the right situations. But given the chance, they would be doing very much the same thing that Adolf Hitler did. So, and others like him. So, there you go. See, you got me going there. You know, just want to say this. If you really believe that because somebody else is Mexican or black or that actually makes them that you can group them and say they're all a certain way, I mean, you know, you're an idiot. It's so obvious that isn't the case, and it's such a ignorant thing to, I mean, you know this. I'm just saying it just to say it. It is so ignorant. It's so easy to just classify people into a group and just say they're all this way. That's the easiest, dumbest, you know, thing that anybody could do. And I've done it myself, so I know. I'm not talking down to anybody. I used to have a problem with the hip-hop, you know, when the hip-hop first came out in the 90s, 1995, 1993, whatever it was. I really went through a phase there where I was vibing on that, and I did not like it, and I could look at them, and it just really irritated me. And it took several years for me to get over that and realize that everything that I'm talking about. And so, you know, without going into all that, it's just ignorant people are always going to be on the earth, and they're always going to do that. That's not going to go anywhere. But one thing that has been interesting over the last, at least in my lifetime, is that we really have seen, with regard to African-Americans, blacks, whatever you want to call people that have dark skin, we really have seen a major change where it's not anything like it used to be. I know that you've said in the South it's still there, and of course there's always still going to be people that have that, but I think the majority of people now doesn't even mean a thing to them. I think it's, hey, how you doing, whatever, you're in business with them, you're not in business with them, you see them on the street, whatever. It's just normal now. And that has been a really nice thing to see in my 54 years, because 35 years ago, that wasn't the way it was. And it certainly is much nicer now. Look how much nicer it is when everyone's just okay with it. Everyone's just fine. They're okay with us, we're okay with them. Isn't that nice? So why would you want to hate any other group, whether it was Jews or anything else? Why would you want to do that? And then, of course, appoint yourself, as these people do, as the leader of the group against those people. You know, and it all really is just a power play for people to be in power. So there's my little soapbox for you there, Dwayne.
Very good.
So anyway, let's see. You want to talk about the S&P a little bit?
Sure. I can do that.
Okay. Let's try to do it without any of that stuff we just talked about. So we'll just continue on here. Okay, so the S&P, we've had a multi-day decline here, and the market this morning retested yesterday's lows, which prompted us to get long, and we're still long right now. We're waiting to see if we can get a further confirmation of a breakout to the upside. We're very, very close to having a roadmap, which at some point here, you know, we're going to put it out today on the S&P, but, you know, the market may be up high enough where it'll be difficult to get into that, or you may have to buy at higher prices to get the full deal. But for those of you who want to see it, you can just take a free trial if you want it for free. Get on Messenger Pro, and we'll probably give it out a little bit later today. So we've had, you know, a quiet day, but the market did go down and do an important thing, which was retest yesterday's low. This, again, is that was an important signal for buying because, you know, the market isn't ready yet to fully confirm what we've talked about, which is the March top. So we're running, you know, we're starting to run out of time in March here too. But the fact is that they're trying to go higher here with the usual slowness that we've seen over the last several days. So other than the roadmap that we may come out here, I would like to say that, you know, I'd like to have people come on and take a look at that roadmap, but we'll probably put it out right after I get off the radio with you. So, or some, if everything is set up for it correctly. So I think that's it. Just, you know, the larger uptrend has not been broken yet. The market's still doing okay, and we'll wait and see if we can get, you know, higher movement from this. Under normal conditions, this market should move somewhat higher here, although it could be very quiet in doing so. And that's just the nature of trading, is that you're just going to have to sometimes wait around, like, you know, we've had to for, it seems like a long time now. Actually, since Christmas 2011, we have had a market that, for the most part, intraday, has been very quiet. So if you find yourself saying, gosh, this market really is slow, yeah, it has been slow since Christmas. That's just what it did. Seems like people went on vacation and they still are on vacation. What's the volume look like today, Dwayne? Do you have it?
No, I don't, David. Not at my fingertips.
Okay.
Michael's gone, and so... Are you gone, Michael? Yeah, I'm not sure what the volume is. Somebody type it in if you've got it handy.
Okay, it's on your computer. It's not actually on your fingertip. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's inside your computer there. Anyway,
one
little humor
million.
There, I know.
How about that?
It's terrible.
1.1 million.
Yeah, I know.
No, let me say that again in English. 1.1 million.
Oh, 1.1 million.
There
okay. So that's, you know, that's low volume. That's pretty low.
It is.
So far, yeah. Okay, so let's move on. Let's take a look at a few other things while we'll keep an eye on this position here. A few days back, we had the gold We can't take any credit for this. I'm just noting the fact that the gold setup that we had, which had spiked below the critical levels for the roadmap and negated the roadmap, we were originally talking about the market going from 1641 up to 1666. Today's high, 1666.3. And that's after they negated the roadmap. So that was a tricky little... Now, why do you think I say the markets are always tricky before they make the move? You know, there it is. It, usually with roadmaps, that's not the case. But sometimes that does happen. It can happen in any kind of setup. So they have completed today the original intended move, and much higher prices remain possible. This will be important next week when the market begins to have... potentially break out from the area that it's from, that will indicate trades that we would be interested in taking on the long side. Now, we're not going to actually get into it as a trade because we're in a longer-term position, but for people who want to trade the futures or do something with it, you're more than welcome to do so. By the way, I had Dane print off the 255 trades that we, options trades that we took, you know, get the statement for them, the whole statement with all 255. These are the option trades that we talked about yesterday, and I gave you the caveat that these, you can have much higher win-loss ratio for these than normal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But about 95% of them were winning trades. Again, I want to say that's more normal for options for, you get a high win-loss ratio can, if you know anything about what you're doing, you can get a higher win-loss ratio, even if you don't know what you're doing. For a while, you can have a high win-loss ratio with selling premium. But where the rubber meets the road is you have to know when the trade is wrong and not hold it because and let it move against you. Because what happens in these options trades is that each one of them makes a relatively small amount of money. So any one trade that you would let go against you very much would easily take, believe it or not, 10 of your successful trades away. So you really have to manage the options trades correctly. But we'll have that, and we're going to post that on our webinar, and we'll send that to Dwayne if anybody wants to look at that whole string of trades. These also, as I mentioned yesterday, and I really want to make this clear, there's a lot of different indications that set the trades up, but there's not that many. In other words, that 255 trades were a bunch of were maybe 15 indications. And then we put a whole bunch of trades on based on each indication. So one indication might be responsible for 15 trades. See what I'm saying? So it's not 15 individual trading ideas. It's one trading idea that we might have traded 15 stocks, as an example. That's what I'm talking about. So, but having said all that, it's just nice to see it. There's $97,000 worth of gain since we started doing that. That's going back into last year, about May of last year. And this is just collecting options premium. It's not the same as futures positions where, you know, you're buying at one price. It certainly is on a certain level. But it's different because you're paid in full. The person that is buying the option that you're selling, he's paying you in full for that. And then you get some or all of that money. Even if the futures market moves really, really far in your favor, the best it's ever going to get for you as the seller of that option is whatever the guy paid you. That's the best it's going to get. If he paid you 2 points and the market goes through the roof, you know, you sold a put, which for you is a bet the market's going to stay where it is or go higher. It's like going long if you sell a put. Then even if the market goes through the roof, that's all you get is 2 points. Where in the futures, you know, you if you know how to trade it and can hold it, you can get a lot more, you know, out of that. But there's a lot of trade-offs to options, but some of the things are very powerful. One of the most powerful things about options trading is that time is clicking away, and the option is time is the enemy of the person who purchased the option from you. He doesn't want time to go by fast. He wants it to go by slow. You know, he wants the market to move quickly because he doesn't want time to start chewing away at his option. So... there's a lot of things about options trading, and we use it quite a bit in our trading. There's a lot of little things you can do that might not necessarily make a lot of money here or there. It might be a $300 gain or a $100 gain or maybe a $1,000 game if it's really a good position. But you're doing a bunch of them in a bunch of different stocks, and it can really add up to some nice gains if you manage the downside. In the end, no matter what instrument you use, like we talked about yesterday, it doesn't matter. You have to be right, ultimately, about what your outlook was, period. It works in every level of trading. You're not going to make money unless you're right. And it doesn't mean that you personally are right, like, oh, you're wrong, you know, not that kind of thing. You just have to have called the market correctly for that particular trade. And as a course, we've talked about this, Dwayne has talked about it, you have to learn how to be graciously imperfect, because the market will punish you if you don't know how to be imperfect graciously. If you always have to be right in life, you're not going to do well in the markets, because you're not always going to be right in the market. And when you're not right in the market, you have to be graciously imperfect, which means, you know what, I didn't get that one right. Just like what we just did with the gold thing there. We didn't get it right. Putting today's movement aside and all that stuff, that doesn't count. The fact is that at the time when we set the trade up, it just didn't work. We weren't right. Well, a person could easily say, and this is the disease talking, well, if you just would have held on to your position, now everything would be fine. That's correct. But at the time, we had to honor the fact that the trade was not correct. Now, subsequently, we could have gotten in again, and, you know, the market closed well yesterday, and et cetera, and we could have done something with it. But up to that point, you have to honor the fact that the market's gone through an important level, a place that it shouldn't be. If you're not graciously imperfect, if you can't be wrong, you cannot trade. I don't care how much money you inherited, you're going to lose it all. And I told you the story about the guy, the gambler who was here, and, you know, I was in the Las Vegas casino and I was watching this guy, and he was very bold and brusque and gambling with cash, not chips, which is unusual because normally people get their cash turned into chips, and he's banging away on the table there. And I'm just thinking, wow, this guy, my first impression, isn't this funny how we think? My first impression was, well, here's a guy who's got a really hip, great business somewhere in the world. You know, everybody comes to Las Vegas from somewhere. A lot of people come from very far away. And, you know, he's just having a great old time here. Isn't that nice that this guy's, you know, he's doing well in life for him? You don't have to make a lot of money to do well in life. There's plenty of very, very happy people that are living their life. But this guy, and for the context that I was looking at it in, isn't that nice? Here's a guy, you know, he's probably got a business somewhere doing well. And, you know, he's just having a fun time here in Las Vegas. And so that's how I was viewing it. I'm watching him. I'm just impressed. I'm impressed by how bold he is. He's just slapping down those things. He's playing three hands, you know, the blackjack, the dealer standing there, and the cards have to add up to 21 for you to win or whatever. So he's standing there, and as I'm standing there, a couple other people are joining us. And before you know it, a lot of patrons at the casino, they recognize that this guy is doing an unusual thing. He's playing with cash. This is not chips. And he's doing it in a bold and kind of, you know, advanced, you know, I don't know, hip kind of way. I can't describe it, but you know what I mean. It just caught your eye for whatever reason. And so I'm standing, just so happens, I'm standing right next to him, slightly behind him. And he's putting it down, and he's losing, 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 winning, losing, losing, losing. And so finally, I don't know if he was out of money or not, but at that time, but he put his last little stack of, you know, $1,000 or $2,000 down and lost it. He turned right around to me. He looked at me, and he said, let's get something to eat. And I was sure, obviously, since I don't know him, he was talking to somebody right behind me or thought I mistook me for someone. And so he looked at me. We kind of locked eyes for a second, and I said, sure. I don't know. It just came out of my mouth. So he walked over to this little cafe, and I walked with him. I said, hey, my name's David. I just figured he just was looking for someone to talk to. So I sat down with him, and you know the story, Dwayne, and some of you do too. From the moment we sat down at that table, it went from my original viewpoint, like, this is a hip guy that knows, you know, he's got a business, he's got something going on, he's having a nice time here in Las Vegas, isn't that nice, to, oh my God, not only do I want nothing to do with this guy, I think I need to run, and I need to run to the bathroom to throw up. Because by the time he was done describing what was really happening in front of me, it was disgusting. And here's what it was. His mother was a nurse. She had worked her whole life, and, you know, it's hard to accumulate money after, you know, paying taxes and living your life and paying bills and taking care of unnecessary or unknown expenses, you know, things that come up that are necessary. And she had accumulated $200,000. that he was the only son, and she had, what's it when people die, he had inherited that from his mother, who had worked very hard. She wanted to give him a nice life. I mean, isn't that nice that people do that? Isn't it nice that your parents, you know, worked hard? You know, maybe they, you know, they of course enjoyed their life, but isn't it nice that they worked hard, they thought about you? You may not have been thinking about them, but they thought about you, they worked their life, they saved money, they saved for your college, whatever. You know how we normally, most of us have parents that did a lot of our parents did the right things. Some of them we didn't, and that's unfortunate. But isn't it nice that it is the case, they did this. And so that the day comes that their life expectancy has run out and they pass away, that they have given this to you for you to have, so you can have a good life. And that's all this woman did for this guy, wanted to have him have a good life. And so the truth of the matter was is that he had taken that $200,000, gotten on an airplane, and he had been in Las Vegas for about 3 weeks or so, and he was running out of time and running out of money. And at that moment, he was down to his last $35,000. So I'm thinking, this guy is telling me a lot of very personal things here, but this is what the truth of the matter was. His mom passed away, left him this money, and he had gambled all of it except $35,000. And so I said to him, after, you know, keeping my breakfast or my lunch down, you know, he's sitting in front of me, and I said, listen, it seemed to me like it'd be a really good idea for you to just get on an airplane and leave. Your mom's initial wishes, I'm sure she will forgive you if she's around anywhere looking down on this, if you'll just take that $35,000 and go start a new life. It'll mean everything to her if she can see this, and you'll still have done what she wanted. You know, it won't have totally broken her desire to have you have a good life. Because if you throw that last 35 away, you know, you really, it's an ugly thing for everybody. And he looked at me and he said, it's as good as gone. And I'm looking back at this guy. The casino noises are in the background. Our eyes are locked. He's looking at me. I'm looking at him. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm sitting with somebody who's just evil. You know, I don't know what it was. It just overcame me. I have to get out of here quick. And I did. And so I brought you that story to tell you that it doesn't matter how much money you have. If you don't trade properly, if you don't do the right thing, and if you make a practice out of doing the wrong thing, you're going to lose all of it. Just like he did. And just like many traders that I know, and perhaps many of you know, who have lost large sums of money, including myself, in the past, by doing the wrong thing as a practice. You can do the wrong thing and make a mistake from time to time, but if you do it as a practice, this is how you do things, this is how you roll, then you're gonna roll right off the cliff. So if you're wrong in a trade, you have to honor that. Later you can get back into the trade. If you didn't do that, you can jump up and down and say, gosh darn, I was right, and see, and that's just how they mess with it. But that's how the markets work, and you have to learn how to get in sync with that. They're not going to change their behavior because you're throwing something through a window because you're angry. They're going to not change their behavior for anything. You have to get in concert with what they do. And once you come to that seemingly easy insight, then suddenly things become a lot easier because you're trying to stay in concert with the market rather than trying to make it do what you want it to do. And that's what is in people's minds. Business owners, doctors, lawyers who get into trading. I know this because I, A, was a business owner, and B, I know plenty of people who have come through our business. These people are used to saying, get this done, take care of this for me, ordering things to happen and having them happen. And then when they get into the markets, they're trying to tell the market what to do, and it doesn't fit in their world that it doesn't work that way in trading. And once you get to the point where you say, listen, I don't control the market. Even doesn't matter how well you forecast or whatever, you don't control it. So you have to be in concert with it. You have to be in harmony with it in order to make money with it. And if you hold on to these losing positions, they end up wiping you out. As a practice, if you do that, it'll end up wiping you out. So some people I've had to say, and I'm sure Dwayne has been this as well, there are some people that I have to say to them, I don't think it's a good idea that you continue trading. I'm just telling you as a thing, you know, I don't think it's a good idea that you continue trading. I think you should put your energies into something else. And, you know, you think, wow, that's not a very nice thing to have to say to somebody, especially somebody who has their heart set on trading. But there are people that I've said that to, and I'm saying it in, with best wishes to them, because I don't want them to hurt themselves anymore because they have bad habits that are going to cause them nothing but grief, you know, in trading. So a lot of times I'll tell people, you know, that very thing. And then on other times I'll say to people, you can really get this done. You can do this. You have what it takes. And what really does it take to do well in trading? Have you ever asked yourself that? What does it take? What's the secret? What does it take to do well in trading? Well, I'll tell you, you have to have an edge. You have to have some kind of an edge, meaning an advantage, some way of knowing something about what the market's going to do. Unless you're a pure trend follower, and a pure trend follower says his religion is, I don't know anything. I just, when the market's going up, I'm long, and when the market's going down, I'm short. You know, there's other characteristics to it, but that's the basic idea. But you have to have an edge. And if you do have an edge, and if you have clean psychology, clean meaning that you're not trying to do all the things we've talked about, and you can manage your emotions, you do have what it takes, because it isn't really rocket science. But it does take practice. It is a skill. Are some people born with a viewpoint that makes it easier for them to trade? Rarely. But yes, rarely. The ones that I've met, it's rare. You know, I don't know too many people that are trading at Michael X's level, and, you know, I can say that about many other traders. But anybody, any ordinary person can practice with this and become proficient at it as long as your own emotional states don't make you pull the gun out and shoot like the fellow did with the kid, because he was, that wasn't a real trade. That wasn't a real criminal. He just needed a criminal so he could shoot his gun, just like traders often need a trade just so they can get into the market. And so we've been through all this many times, but it's an interesting story, and I wanted to say again that, you know, how you look at things determines what you see. You should study a little bit how you're looking and how you're thinking about things, because, and then I'll move on. The last thing I want to say is the things that are most potentially bad for you are the things that you never see because they're so close to you, because you've accepted them completely without holding them out in front of you to look at the idea that's operating. So I'm a real fan of people sitting down. No, practically nobody does this, but if you'll do it, take 10 minutes a day and sit down and just watch what goes through your mind. That's all you have to do. I don't care if it's thoughts about sex or thoughts about killing somebody or thoughts about making money. I don't care what it is that goes through your mind. Don't hurt yourself and say, oh, I shouldn't think that. Or if you say I shouldn't think that, watch that as a thought. Just become acquainted with what's going on in your mind. Just that one act will get you to a point where later, when the thing that you're not right now aware of that's coming in and directing your life, when that thing operates in you, you'll now have a chance to see it. And the mere act of seeing it starts to break its hold on you. But for many people, the things that they can least see, because they're identified with that particular idea, those are the things that are hurting them the most in their life, directing them to do and say things that end up hurting them. So a little of this looking at yourself, watching how your mind works, will help you get into a little bit of a habit of that throughout the day. It's not to judge yourself. See, I don't want to say anything about religions here, but religions are very big on judgment in general. They judge people by their actions, and we got that from our Sunday school and from on and on and on. In this particular case, I'm not just pinning down one religion. I'm just saying, just in general, there's a lot of judgment in religion. Now, when you sit down and do this, you'll find yourself judging yourself. Oh, I shouldn't think that thought. That was a bad thought. Or I shouldn't say this about that person. That's going to happen, but still, just watch that. Even watch that. Step back. You're far enough back to say, oh, even that I should watch. You just want to watch how your mind works rather than becoming a participant in the judgment, a participant in the embarrassment over that thought or whatever. Just watch. And that watching will get you a little bit separate from it, and that separateness allows you to have something known as intelligence. Because until you have that separateness between you and what's directing your life, the conditioning that is directing your life, you're not living by intelligence. You're living by the conditioning that's directing your life. The only way to get intelligence is to separate yourself consciously, knowingly, from the things that have already got a hold of you that you're not aware of because you haven't separated yourself from them. Once you start to separate it, a real sense of intelligence comes in, a kind that you might not have noticed before that can direct you and have you doing things very differently, thinking very differently towards life and other things that would have bothered you and many other things like that. And you suddenly can blast through barriers that were big things to you before, but now you just walk right through them like they're invisible walls because you're not looking at them through the eyes of conditioning. You've separated yourself just by this one thing. It's amazing. You know, if it could be sold as a product, it's, you know, 10 minutes a day to, you know, to bliss, you know, or whatever you want to call it, to a condition that won't allow life to damage your chances at it. Like it has, because we picked up conditioning ideas, wrong ideas, we've accepted them, but we don't know we've accepted them, and those ideas are operating on their own. So that's why I suggest to people to do that. Take it or leave it. I think it's worth doing. Okay, so there you go, Dwayne. See, I told you I was only going to be on a short time today because I'm really busy. See? So now I'm going to move on to the next market. Oh, back to gold here. Back to gold. I think there's anything else here we want to cover. I don't think so. I think right now we're expecting higher prices in gold, though. And I did mention yesterday that next week is an important week. It's possible that it came in 1 week early, and if it did, we'll just have to deal with that next week, and I won't go into any more of that right now. Okay, so let's go through the usual raft of markets. This week is the on-time week for a bottom in the United States or U.S. Treasury bond market. This is the big one, the 30-year. This is the one that determines interest rates on loans and things like that. Go refinance things now before this market goes deeper. We are expecting a multi-week advance off of this bottom. That will keep interest rates nice for a little bit. And you can do one of those HARP loans on your house and pay maybe $2,000 to save $200, $300, or $400 a month on your home loan. It's a really good idea to do that. Check that out. Let's see if there's anything else I can tell you about the bonds. I don't think so. Let's go over to the euro. We could have done a roadmap yesterday on euro. We could have, but we didn't. We didn't do one, and it's already completed its movement off of yesterday's low. The euro is very close to the week of March 26th we talked about. We'll cover that next week. We'll just get into it next week when we are online with you next week.
Okay.
So nothing else with the euro. Anything you want to say on the euro, Dwayne? Or?
Nope.
Okay. I do have something that's interesting coming up in silver for March 29th. And I'll say no more about it right now, but you might want to write March 29th down. That might be something that we can trade if you're interested in trading silver. So keep that in mind. That'll be something we'll talk about on Monday. Crude oil, gasoline prices continue to go up. That's not been helping President Obama. I believe he will win anyway. I hope I'm wrong, but I believe he will win, and he has, you know, he has a lot of forces at work for him. One of those forces is the fact that, roughly speaking, half the population still really likes him. After the last 3.5 years of bungled policies and $6 trillion spent, I'd like to call the White House and say, what did we get for that $6 trillion, since we're all going to be paying it back? What did we get again for $6 trillion? Since that's, you know, a 60% increase in what our national debt was in 3.5 years, since that's the most amount of money that any administration has ever spent. In fact, it's the most amount of money that all previous administrations combined has ever spent. Imagine that. That's a pretty big number, $6 trillion.
Yeah.
And my other forecast is that, you know, if he does get into office, we'll be at $20 trillion long before. That's the debt. Will be $20 trillion. What are you going to say, Dwayne, long before he's out of office?
Well, one thing you got for your money, the stock market doubled.
Well, can you say that his spending the $6 trillion did that, or isn't that just a coincidental thing going all along with it? I mean,
well,
or should we...
No, when you pump that kind of liquidity in, you should get something for it.
Do we know that he did that? Did we know that he pumped that liquidity in, or is that just an internet rumor? Do we know for a fact...
Well, no. You just got done saying he... printed $6 trillion of debt. That's that is liquidity.
That is. Does that mean it went into the market?
Am I saying he went out and bought Apple or IBM? No, of course not.
Yeah, okay.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying
I don't think
when you print all that money, when you shove all this money at the economy,
It's out there.
The purpose of it is that it stimulates the economy, and the only – I mean, what barometers do we have to measure the economy? We have the stock market. We have the unemployment rate. And
well,
those numbers,
that's true.
You know,
let's
show
give
a
that
positive
to them. Let's go ahead and give that to them. The stock market is higher, but for the last 3.5 years, unemployment was at 9%. So it didn't quite translate into the job market. It didn't translate into a number of other things. But if you want to, we can give them the stock market. You know, the stock market has gone up under his administration, and I'm a believer in giving both credit and blame for whatever happens. He's not a believer in that. He's a believer in taking credit and never taking blame because he's never done anything wrong. But, you know, I'll give him the stock market. And it's true. The liquidity is out there. However and wherever that money was spent, it was put out there. I'm not sure he had to print that money. I guess he did because it's not money that they had. They had to borrow that in order to do it.
Well, they don't actually print money anymore. They just – it's – a journal entry. It's a you move a few decimal points on the computer. They don't actually crank up a press and go, oh, we're going to have to bring on an extra crew.
They do have presses, though, don't they? I mean,
we still have money to spend, but when they inject all this money into the economy, like the Fed, they don't print a bunch of $100 bills so they can then go over and buy T-bills with it. It's all done electronically.
Right. Interesting.
Imagine how long it would take to print $1 trillion?
Let me try to imagine that.
Yeah.
Is long.
That is a long time. A lot of people, a lot of ink, a lot of paper. That's not how it works anymore.
Yeah. Just keep the number $10 billion a week in your mind. And when you hear them talking on TV of why they need another program, why they need to do this, just keep it in mind, $10 billion a week. That's the interest payments we're making on the debt for the United States of America. That's not the principal. That's the interest. So in 1 month, that'll be $40 billion more. Somebody is not doing the right thing somewhere for us to be in that position.
Well, the market should have been allowed to recover of its own. Without
exactly,
you know, that's what should have happened. We should have, you know, there should have been, you know, it should have been, yeah. Neither one of us agree with the way that it was handled. We should have seen austerity measures of our own. We should have seen, you know, we should have went ahead and paid the band then instead of borrowing money to let them keep playing. So
there you are. See, Dwayne thinks in band terms. I don't know if you've noticed that, because he has really long hair and probably was in a band at some time.
Yeah.
Were you ever in a band, Dwayne?
David, the only thing I can play is the radio.
Oh. All right. Okay, I'll move on.
All right.
Let's see. Hold on here. Let me just see if there's any last little bit here for us. We talked about the soybean market bottoming. The on-time day for the bottom was March 21st, and yesterday we mentioned that any buy signal should be taken in the soybean market for an advance and a test or an attempt at $13.68. Today's high, $13.69. There you are. I hope somebody took advantage of that. I'm sorry?
What month are you in?
We are in May soybeans. Now, this is an example. The soybean thing is an example. It's just a natural number, which is $13.68.
Gotcha.
That would be due on or around from March 21st through March 23rd. So when Reflected Wave indicated that the bottom was in on the 21st, even though they spiked below it the next trading day, which was the 22nd, the fact that they closed well and were above important levels and, you know, Reflected Wave is a turning point method that's calling a bottom, then we know where the market wants to go up to right away. And this is a really beautiful example of that principle at work here. So that move from yesterday's close, $13.49 up to $13.68, is, you know, roughly a 20-cent move or so. You could have, it's reasonable to think you could have gotten eight or 10 cents out of that anyway. You know, you can't ever get the whole thing. Sometimes, once in a while, anything can happen, but it's probably reasonable to think. So I hope somebody took advantage of that yesterday. I certainly didn't. Why is that?
I don't know.
How can I be so confident about these things and not end up trading them? That's what my mother used to always ask me. Because I used to have an account for my mom. I really did. We called this mom, and then I said this would happen, and then this would happen, and why didn't you trade them? I don't know.
That's the truth about trading.
That is part of the truth about trading. Anyway, so listen, I'm really excited about, for those of you who are coming tomorrow, including Layla from England.
That'll be nice. Layla, have a good time. Haven't heard from you lately, but have fun. She's probably already there.
Or probably is. But anybody else who's coming, I'm looking forward to both meeting you and really turning you on to something highly unusual and something that really has made all the difference in my trading. on this radio program over the years, I've done thousands of reflected wave turning point forecasts for tops and bottoms, and it's the biggest piece in my work. I do have other ideas that I've developed over time, but I never trade against reflected wave unless the market gives me an absolute signal to do so, and then that itself is a trade to take when the market can move through a reflected wave top or bottom, etc. So we're going to go all over this at the seminar. We do have a couple little surprises because I'm going to have another alumni. This is a person who was with us, who was an individual who met with me back in 1995, 1996, one of the guys that was in the ad, you know, the that we talk about on MasterForecasterCourse.com back in the, you know, early 90s, that this is a very sharp, sharp guy, really smart man. The name is Paul, and he's going to be there. He's coming, and he may say a little something as well. He's been trading for a long, long time. He'll probably say a few things about, the relationship that he and I have had over the years, and the fact that, you know, he's a guy that really loves trading, obviously. And I think he's up in years now. I don't know. I mean, old age is always 15 years older than your current age. So I can't say that he's old, but he's getting up there. We all are. You know, Dwayne, you're getting old.
I am.
I mean, you know, you're younger than me. That's
kind of creepy.
That's always going to be the case. Kind of creepy. Yeah. But anyway, so he'll be there, and we may have a couple other little surprises, so I'm really looking forward to it. Have a safe trip out there. Dwayne, I'll see you on Monday. We'll get back to it here, and hope everybody has a great weekend as well.
David, have a great weekend. I know it'll be interesting and fun, and you'll get to meet people you've not met in person before. And everybody, mm-hmm. I hope you all have a great time.
Thank you very much. Dwayne, do you think it would be a good idea if I drove my Chevy Volt into the room, sort of as an appearance? Would that go over, do you think,
Big? I figured you would have it like in the middle of the room on like one of those turnstiles where it's just slowly, right. You know, revolving. You've still got time to pull that off, perhaps.
We do. We do have time. So we'll see.
All right. Have a great weekend. All have right. a lot of fun.
Okay. Thank you, Dwayne. All Thank right. you very much. I'll see you guys there. Bye-bye.
Big weekend ahead. Yes? No? Okay. Fair enough. I'm going to leave you with the hourly chart. We'll see what happens. We'll see if this thing fails or maybe it doesn't. Okay? Remember, we were waiting to see if it would fail and trade back below the 87. So far, it has not. Okay? It's got some buoyancy there. Where is it in relation to that trend line that we had drawn? Well, let's see. We drew it like this last night. So it came and spiked it back down Now this time, it's a little more convincing, it seems. Close a little bit higher. So watch this, okay? This might give you some indication if you're looking to put a trade on between now and the end of the day. Just keep an eye on the hourly. Let's see what's going on there. And as Bert would say, if he were here, which he isn't very much anymore because he's so busy, stay alert and stay alive. It is the weekend. Spend quality time with your family. It's the law. And, of course, I'll see you all in church on Sunday. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.